presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Outrageous!
Banded together from remote galaxies.
You're listening to episode 148 of the Let's Go Comic Show, where we talk about comics, comic movies, comic TV shows, everything in the world of comics, part of the Let's Go Podcast Network, pop culture without the pop. My name is Justin.
And I'm Matt.
Yo, and today we got a special guest because we're going to talk about symbiotic things. So we're going to bring on a Rad Friend.
We got Rad Friends. Rad Friends, Rad Friends.
All right. Today with us, we got the man, the guy, like who talks to himself with his own skin, right?
That's such a weird way to say that.
I guess.
That's what a symbiote does.
I thought you were going like the direction of like the man, the myth, the legend, and it was not at all.
He's not a myth, dude. He's not a myth.
Talk with your skin.
Talk with your skin. Hey, what's up, skin? And it's like a symbiote. It's all A.
All right. I literally watched a clip from Venom before we started this just to get in the mood, and I was saddened. So.
I'm glad that I got you in the mood. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Rad Friend Mike, how's it going, dude?
Hey, that's good, man. I'm happy. I needed a lift this week, so jumping on the Let's Go
so you
Comic
watched
Show podcast. Well, that brought me down. That did the opposite, but I knew I was going to be on this podcast, so I was like, there's a silver lining.
Fair enough.
Silver lining,
maybe it gets better. Maybe it gets better.
What part did you watch from the movie?
Well, I texted you guys. I was like, hey, what time are we recording? And then I was like planning on kind of finding a spot to start. And I basically like got to the part where Venom, I think he they climbed up a big building in San Francisco, and then like they go down an elevator, and then they like, there's like a SWAT team in front of him. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And then Venom like overcomes Eddie Brock. That's like the one cool scene in that whole movie. The whole movie. That was the only scene that got right, where he just like tears up that SWAT team and like jumping around. But literally, but I'm not kidding you. Like immediately after that, I started cringing because this dialogue was horrible, and it was like, I mean, oh my goodness, dude!
Like a turd flapping in the wind.
Yeah, that was prophetic of that movie. I don't know. That's
like a turd. I don't know. Like, I think that's kind of a funny line. I haven't seen it. I just think everyone, like, that's the one thing everyone like busts on. But I'm like, I don't know. I think it's like stupid
that
funny.
One. I do think I it's like funny. I also think it's horrible. Like, it
could
be both.
It could be both.
I don't know if it, like, the more I like catch more like old school, like classic Venom, I don't know that he would have said that. But my initial response when I saw the movie, I was like, oh yeah, that feels like Venom. But like, the more I read, I'm like, I don't think he would have said that.
Yeah, but Venom used to be a little more like, I'm gonna eat your brain. Like that was about it. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, oh, yeah, all right, you got goals.
Yeah,
you got goals. You got goals. All right, Matt. Before we go too off the rails, man, how do we rate stuff on this show? How would we rate Venom?
Rate that with the Let's Go rating system.
Yeah.
At the top of that is a gotta go.
Yeah.
Below that is a let's go.
That's right.
Below that is a go.
He's like, well, I don't know.
And below that is a don't go.
That's right.
And way at the bottom below that in the depths.
So that's where Venom
like a
still
turd
exists.
Flapping in the wind is.
Yes. That's where it exists with me because I still haven't seen it. I'm waiting for it to pop up on the multitude of streaming services I have. I'm like, it's got to show up one day, dude, right?
Oh, you probably need a couple more.
I hope so. I just want to hear what you think. My goodness, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down just to throw five on it, dude, and like rent it, but
the people are waiting, Justin.
I'm holding off on Fantastic Four too, because you said you wanted to watch it with me. So I'm like,
oh shoot.
Which one? Are we talking the boo boo one with Michael B. Jordan? That one?
Yeah. Well, yeah. they're all boo-boo.
I still haven't seen it.
I don't think there's been a Fantastic Four movie that's been like
all right.
Fantastic.
I'll tell you though, I remember I was like freaking 13 or 14. I remember going with my family to the movies to see the first one.
Yeah.
It was a big deal for me. Like that was a pretty amazing experience, but I'm not sure how I'd feel about it now, but when you guys watch it, let me know. Cause I haven't seen the new one either. Cause I heard it was a turd flapping in the
wind. Oh yeah, dude. So. We'll just all watch together. Cause I seen it. I'm like, oh, my son pointed out. He's like, dad, it's on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like, Disney
dude.
Plus. It's starting to sneak up. Some of these, the Fox stuff is starting to acquire in there. Okay. I'm like, all right. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's check it out, man.
Maybe they'll get New Mutants in there someday.
That's what they hinted at. Like, hey, it's coming somewhere. So we've been watching the old X-Men movies.
Oh,
on,
so good.
Yeah. So,
well, my kids were really good into at the time.
Well, he told me it was really cute the other day. He's like, hey, Dad, I'm really into those X-Men movies. I was like,
aww.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I really like them. I'm like, oh, man. Because we finished up three. So we watched X-Men like a month ago. And then Days of Future Past popped up on Disney Plus. I'm like, I think you can watch that with me. So we watched it. There was a little like, I had to like kind of through it. But overall, he was like, what is going on? But he just thought it was so cool. And then we just finished up part three. What was that one? X-Men. Rise of the Phoenix. No, I don't know what it is called, dude. The third one.
The third one of the second set?
Yeah.
No, the first set. It was.
Oh, yeah, it was the Phoenix one.
Yeah, the first Phoenix one.
Apocalypse? Is that what it's called?
No.
X3, was that X-Men United or whatever?
No, that's the second one. X2 is X-Men United.
X3. Dude, all these titles.
I don't know, man. It's the third one. It's the third one that Brett Ratner did. And it's,
oh, yeah,
it's,
I remember that because I didn't like... I remember I went to go see... Oh, The Last Stand.
The Last Stand.
The Last Stand. Oh, my gosh. That one was horrible.
Yo, you know what was like... You know what was trash juice? You guys probably talked about this. Freaking Dark Phoenix, bro. My goodness.
I still haven't seen it. It's in my queue, though. I have it ready.
I think my wife said something like... We were watching it together out of curiosity. I'm not kidding you. I'm pretty sure verbatim she said, this movie's so bad, I'm kind of curious to see how it ends. That was that's how bad it was. It was bad, bro. Like, X-Men, they were hurting, man.
Apocalypse, I didn't like Apocalypse, and so I wasn't even, like, hyped at all to see Dark Phoenix. But what sucks about it is the first stab they took at Dark Phoenix wasn't good, which is X-Men, was it United?
The Last Stand.
The Last Stand.
It was really not.
And they do it again. So like now that, you know, MCU's got the access to it, are they going to be like, man, we can't even do Dark Phoenix. That's kind of a cool story. They're like, nah.
Dude, I have not seen these since I was a kid. I need to watch The Last Stand.
Dude, Last Stand is so like, I don't know what they were doing with Wolverine's hair. His hair looks stupid. You know how everyone's like, man, Hugh Jackman just shows up. He's always a great Wolverine. He sucked in this movie, dude. He was like, either he was just like, man, forget this movie. I don't know. I just felt
he
like
he was trying
so
his
bad.
Hardest, man. He was doing his darndest.
For Logan, he probably channeled all of his anger of having to be on The Last Stand and those other kooky spinoffs. Yeah. That's why, because Logan was dope.
Yeah, Logan.
Logan was dope, but he was
one
depressed
issue
that whole movie.
But everything else is, Logan's really good. But
What's the issue?
I don't like the whole doppelganger thing. He's got to fight him twice.
Bro,
I was like, what the heck? Bring Sabretooth in, do something. Like, I was like, the last one, and you're gonna bring his twin in.
That's I get
twice. Yeah. Okay, the first time I'm like, okay, fine, but then the second time I was like, come on.
I could feel that from like a fan standpoint, but I felt like from a poetic standpoint, I was quite moved by the fact that he's essentially fighting himself. That was very moving to me.
Thank
but
you
I
for
feel
understanding
you.
That reference, Mike. I appreciate that. I appreciate
probably,
that insight.
Yeah.
Justin doesn't appreciate stuff like that.
Picked that up from you, bro. So
no, I can't take credit for that.
Yeah, but yeah, so yeah. Anyways, man, these X-Men movies—it's fun going back watching them. But like, yeah, the
yeah. Well, these X-Men comics are out of control too, bro. Like at first, I was like, "Oh, cool," and you guys were pointing me to some, and I was reading some. But then, like, I went to the shop the other day, and I said, "What in the frick is this wall right here? What?
It's like
I don't know how to. Who's the X-Men of Swords?" The frick, how many Marauders do we have? Everyone gets their own like story now. Like
Marauders is a good book, though.
I know, but this X-Men thing's out of control, man.
Bro, how many X-Men books came out this week? We had Hellions.
Yeah.
We had...
X of Swords, right?
X-Men Empire.
Oh, X-Men got an Empire slot?
Yeah, Wolverine came out. Then we had the Fantastic Four X-Men book. Like, there was like four books of X-Men.
New Mutants, too.
And New Mutants came out? Sheesh.
Oh, my...
Yeah, so, it's wild, man.
Yeah, they had so many. They went from we have no X-Men
it,
books.
But I could not keep
like everything.
We give
X-Men
you
book.
All the X-Men books.
Yeah, I'm like, man,
Oh, you're right. There's a freaking X-Men Fantastic Four. What is that about? I didn't even check that out.
They're just crossing over. Like, hey, here's the new X-Men and Fantastic. Yeah, it's just what Marvel does, dude. So that's the thing. It's so hard because they put out they put out some really good stuff, and we're gonna get into. We're actually just gonna jump in right now. Let's just jump into it. So we know when Mike shows up, it's because we're probably going to talk about Venom.
I love that.
Something love Venom that, adjacent, yeah. Something symbiotic or something. So let's just jump in, dude, because there's a lot of stuff happening with the Venom side of things. Venom. All right. So let's talk about issue 26, which came out last week. So hit it up, go to your shop and get it, download it on Comixology or something. There we go. Mike's showing us. Okay, so
Virus.
Yeah, can I ask you a question? That was my question. Did they talk about Virus in the last issue? Because
no.
He looks like a war machine or something.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure who my guy is. I don't know if Matt has any insights. Yeah. Do you have any insights?
Because they're about to.
I was thinking I wanted to go back through and see like who like Eddie has like kind of like come across or maybe like humiliated. I feel like there was someone he took out like early on in the series and I can't remember who. And I was thinking that could be it, but
he messed with Jack O'Lantern a couple of times.
That's true. Mm. And I didn't know if that was him. Goblin glider and the flaming pumpkins. So I mean,
I don't know, man. Glider.
It's kind of a mixture of a bunch of different stuff. I mean, it looks cool. Like I like the look of it. Of that, it's like kind of Venom, but kind of War Machine, but kind of like Goblin, Green Goblin, Hobgoblin.
Yeah, because he was on that. Like, I was like, why does he need a Goblin glider though, when he's got like thruster boots, right? But you know.
So what I saw though this week they released the free comic book day issue of all the Spider-Man stuff, and Virus was there. Like he was like introduced there. So I think the order of publishing and how free comic book day was supposed to happen
supposed to come out in May.
In May, I think that's been the issue.
Dang, if Marvel only had a way to get that to fans somehow in May, like online or something, you know?
Yeah, you would think he would.
This was like a kind of highly anticipated character. I remember people were talking about it early on in COVID. So they were like, when we were supposed to be in this thing for 2 weeks, when that was the conversation, they were still like, hey, new comic book day is coming. And so like, we knew we had a new character coming our way. And I was looking it up. Well, I can't remember if who came up with the character. It might've been Donnie Cates. I'll try to find that out. But this guy's been talked about for a minute. We were all kind of waiting on Virus, and then the schedule got thrown off. So that's what was interesting. I actually saw someone like wrote an article about it. It was like Venom 26 came out, and then just like you said, Matt, the free comic book day issue came out. So that was supposed to be like the really cool, because dude, free comic book day, you never know what you're gonna get. Like it's some fun reads, you know, but they could kind of be like, you know, out there loosely connected to a storyline. But this was actually like kind of a big deal. Like, yo, a new character that's going to show up in Venom. So it was kind of interesting, like comic history, I guess, for Venom. Venom chronology is like we got our Virus released before the actual preview. So
that's funny. Yeah, man, free comic book day. Sometimes it's like, oh, it's awesome. And then they're like, yeah, we're going to give you a reprint. I'm like, what? The new cover, like DC was doing that for a bit, but
I think this had lots of cool stuff though. Like there were some excellent moments. I think it incorporates what's come before, but it feels like it moves us forward, honestly, in a better way than the Venom Island stuff did to me. I didn't enjoy that because it was still cool, but it still felt like it was almost like a epilogue to Absolute Carnage.
Yeah.
Like it still is very much tied to that, and it didn't feel like we were moving on yet. And this feels like, okay, here's the next like chapter, even though there's still like an overarching story. Like to have Eddie still there, like he's missing his hand. Like you can see all that stuff. So we're still continuing, but it feels like, okay, here's the next kind of steps we're going to start taking.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Venom Island was, did you read Venom Island, Justin? Were you keeping up with that?
I did not, but I read your reviews.
It was fun. Yeah, did I? Oh, yeah, I was writing about him.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a good time. I felt similar to Matt where, it did feel like, I honestly took it as like, oh, they must be working on something. So they're just going to give me this little standoff with Carnage and Venom like one more time. So, but it was fun. And yeah, dude, this Venom 26, man, I'm telling you, for me, this was my favorite Venom issue I've read, I think, in the last year. Like,
wow.
And yeah, and it was a shorter issue, but I think I was telling Matt. Yeah, well, yeah, I think it was a little bit short because, well, Venom 25 was super long.
I mean, it's, I thought this was a standard, like, yeah, a standard, pager.
Oh, okay. Okay. Maybe it just it coming off fast, Venom maybe, 25.
But it was really good, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was like, I think what was fun was, you just had like some classic Venom moments, right? So we've had so much like narrative in the Venom story, like so much building and kind of like setting the stage. And this one was like, we had classic like Venom, like overcoming Brock and like threatening dudes, which was nice. I think he's all
you can lie to us
or you can live,
but you cannot do both of those things or whatever. Like he's like pinning him up against the wall. I'm like,
yeah, dude, that's what we want from Venom. Sort of, yeah. Like I thought about it today, he's like the way Donny Cates has like written him is he's become like, he's definitely an anti-hero, which I love, man, because I've just like not really found a ton of anti-heroes that I've connected with, like storylines where I really bought it. But I feel like this Venom, he's like made him that. So yeah, this is a lot of fun. There's even a little father-son panel in there. Which I thought that was tight, man.
Like, where he's like holding him.
Yeah, dude, that was awesome.
Yeah,
it was awesome. So it was a good, like, what a good time. I really enjoyed this issue, man. I was hyped.
That's what we call a good wrinkle, dude. That was a good wrinkle.
Like, yeah, dude.
Him being with his son, and his son kind of like, his son was kind of having the psychic powers, or like he was able to, like, I feel like he was saying things before the symbiote was saying things. They're like finishing thoughts.
So in Venom, at the end of Absolute Carnage, like he basically like disintegrated. Was it Red Goblin?
It was Osborn.
Yeah, it was Osborn. Like he basically like blew him up with his mind. And so, and then over the course of Venom Island, you're getting this kind of like B plot with him, feeling like he can access like the hive mind of all the symbiotes. Mm-hmm. And so what that ended up being, dude, was so freaking cool, is at the end of that story arc, he was able to like remote pilot basically the symbiote when it wasn't on Eddie. It was so cool.
Yeah, the Venomsaurus Rex or Venom T-Rex.
V-Rex, dude.
V-Rex, man. That was fun.
It was cool. And so you have him entering into the story a little more, like a little more like kind of in the thick of it, like in the middle of it, like he's a part of it.
Well, dude, I'll just tell you, like, I have one thought on that, but one note too, the ending, I just so stoked because they end up in the Ultimate Universe, which is going to be amazing, bro.
Yeah. Like the threads that you're like, wait, what? Because that's right. Like, because this is the Reed Richards from Ultimate. Isn't that who the maker is?
I don't know.
I think so.
Did they say what universe he's from? I just know he's from a different one.
I thought he was an evil version of...
Oh, no. He is from that universe. Yeah, and that was... He wakes up and he's like... Yep.
Yeah, and that was... if you follow Ultimate Spider-Man, like the beginning of that, you had... Ultimate Reed Richards.
Okay, I want to make sure.
Yeah, so he is Ultimate Reed Richards. So the thing with that, like when you had Venom earlier on in the run on Ultimate Spider-Man, like that's what it was. Like he was talking about, like Venom wasn't an entity. It was something created in a lab.
Yeah, it was synthetic. So he's all, I can make improvements. And I was like, that's right. The Venom, the Ultimate Venom was like, it wasn't from space.
Yeah. But my question, I mean, if we're skipping straight to the end, it didn't look like they went to the same place. Like the place they went to looked different than the Ultimate one, because the one they went to had Null's symbol everywhere.
Wait, who?
Yeah,
where Eddie and Dylan went, because the Maker, like he went to the Ultimate Universe, which is like all destroyed and stuff from Ultimatum stuff.
Yeah, I took it as if they were both in the same spot. What threw me off is the art changes just for those last three pages.
That's true. But also you had like you look at the the skyline though, where they're at, like it looks like Batman Beyond type stuff. Like there's floating cars, like, and like the digital billboards everywhere, and it's all that's Knoll's symbol, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's and Knoll. So it's like, oh crap! Like, so when they say Venom Beyond, are they just like playing off of Batman Beyond? Like, and that's what this is.
So.
Like they go to the future.
I think they're winking at that for sure. I think you're right though. I think I was just confused by the art because it was different. I was just thinking like, hey, they both ended up in the old Ultimate Universe, and it's been taken over by Knoll already. That's what I was.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But hey, that's a good.
Yeah, it looks, dude. I'm stoked on it. And I think the art for all of this was really great. Up those last three, I mean, the change for the last three pages was weird, but up until that, like, I actually really dug it. I was bummed when I saw it wasn't Stegman on this issue.
Totally.
But then I started reading, I'm like, no, I actually really like it. It has a very, like, it feels like in the same kind of thread as like Umberto Ramos and like guys like that.
Yeah,
that's tight.
Yeah, Aban Coelho. I didn't miss Stegman at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's I think that's partially why I didn't jump on Venom Island. And I know, what's his face? Speaking of like Ultimate, you know, Universe. Oh gosh, can't think of the guy, the artist's name. And I mean, he's good. I just felt like, I don't know if it was working for me in that book, but I love how this guy like drew like Venom. Mm-hmm. And I think he did. Totally. He had good continuity with how Stegman was already drawing the book. Like, it's not so far removed, but his venom looks like shiny and slick. And I was
he did a good job.
Yeah. The whole team. Cause you know, you got to put the inks and the colors on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. It looked so good. And like his storytelling was great. And so I was into the art, and that's why I was kind of bummed at the end. Cause the other dude, I feel like he didn't match up. But I get it.
Dude, let me just say this, man. Like, let me just say, listen, I'm the original Venom fan, dude, fanboy. Like, I this is my favorite character. Like, I've said my piece on this show. Mm-hmm. If you don't hit the shop on new comic book day, you will not get Venom, dude. It, like, I'm excited for my character and the love he's getting, but I'm pissed off too, dude. Cause I barely got Venom 25. And I'm like, dude, we've been in a pandemic. Like, what the heck? Everyone's just like hitting the shops, I guess, which it's so weird. I'm like happy for the business, but I'm also like, bruh, I've been here, dude. Like, this is my spot, you know? So, dude, they're killing it, man.
They've been reading your Venom reviews on the website, dude. They're like, hey, I got to get that book.
I think that's what it is.
They're all the symbiote expert has said, pick up the books.
Yeah, maybe my name get passed around a little bit, man.
I'll tell you this. Finish your thought.
No, I'm just saying I'm grateful I have a pull list. Like, and if you don't got one, get one. There's your plug because you're going to get left behind. There's some good reads right now. So, my guy, shout out Miguel, Shop Called Quest, who's taking care of me, making sure I get my Venom before they get swooped up.
Yeah. I had such a fun time reading this book. Like, we were like, oh, this is crazy. And again, I'm not like, it's weird. Like, what Marvel, where we complain already, like, hey, man, they put too many X-books out, whatever. Like, there's too much going on. There's like a glut. But like, they're kind of like B and C level stuff has been so fun. Like, and I'm a Batman guy, dude. Like, Batman's my guy. He is my favorite superhero. I've got a tattoo of Batman, right? I had so much more fun reading Venom than I have reading the Batman books. And Batman gets to shoot like 5 shots a month, right? He's like, he's got 7 books coming out or whatever. Venom's got his one. And the Venom book, I felt satisfied. Like, oh man, I can't wait to see what happens. Right now, I'm like, Joker War, I don't care, dude. I just am not bought in. I'm just like, I don't care. Venom. The story. Yeah, dude. The story hasn't done nothing for me, dude. So,
dude, that is a compliment, man.
Right?
Wow.
I just think it's like, hey, man, like, people have got, you know, a limited supply of dollars, man. And you gotta write well, you gotta draw well, because I'm just kind of, and I love Jorge Jimenez's art, who's on Batman right now. This is his first like issue, but I'm like, I feel bad. I'm like, man, they teamed you up with a story that's like, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm gonna follow it, but I'm not hyped about it. So,
dang, dude, that's wild. I'm gonna remember that, man. A moment in time. Go
read Batman 95. Let me know,
Mike. How did you feel about, because you've been reading this more, like with the Maker kind of coming back into the picture? We haven't really seen him since Absolute Carnage, right?
Yeah, he had. Yeah, it's crazy. So Maker shows up. Actually, I think the first time he shows up is in the whole storyline is Venom Volume 2, which is cool. Just some really cool sequences with Venom. There's even like an anti-Venom, or not anti-Venom, sorry. Why am I tripping on this one? I'm tripping on my guy, the other Venom, who's like the Venom super soldier. It's Flash Thompson. Why am I forgetting his name right now?
Oh, yeah. No, he was Venom.
No, that's anti-Venom, right?
Well, he was anti-Venom. I thought he was anti-Venom at some point. Like, but
he had the white outfit. Yeah, yeah, because he was Venom too.
But before that, he was Venom, though.
Yeah, he became anti-Venom. And then...
I think he's... Yeah.
Because he had cancer.
I think he's just like...
And the Venom symbiote kept him alive, right?
I thought that was Eddie.
Yeah, he loses his legs.
He had his legs amputated.
Oh, was that Flash?
Yeah.
Flash Thompson, yeah. But I thought he was anti-Venom, but... Dude, it's a convoluted story.
I know, man.
There's a lot going on.
I think it's
dude.
Like, I think, oh, it's hilarious. It's like a symbiote's wiki. Like, I gotta do some digging there. But yeah, it's Venom Flash Thompson. There's like a Venom Flash Thompson call out in there. But Maker is like early on in the whole Venom saga. Mm-hmm. And then after Absolute Carnage, Venom issue 20 is basically almost completely dedicated to the Maker. There's a little bit of Eddie and his son interacting because it's like post Carnage fallout, but the Maker, that's when you start to see this, like there's kind of this weird plan that's been going on with the Maker, and he's been studying Eddie, he's been studying Dylan. So it leaves you, which is kind of cool, because then it takes six issues to come back to this where all of a sudden there's a payoff and it's like, yo, okay, he's been figuring out a symbiote for himself, and he's been trying to figure out a way to get to a different dimension, or at least like use that kind of travel. So, and then he ends apparently what looks like an accident and getting sucked into his own dimension warp, like is happy about it. So we'll see, man. He's like a devious character in this whole thing. It was cool. I felt like, I think when I saw it, I was like, oh shoot, like Maker's still... He pops in and out, you know? He's like...
Yeah. I did not expect like to see him with the symbiote either.
Like all that.
Well, dude, he beats the crap out of Eddie Brock in this one, bro, with his symbiote. He punches Eddie out of Venom. That was like a Venom first.
He does like a... You know? He does like a... It's like a Ancient One move, like knocking Dr. Strange
that's
out.
That's right, he does. That's funny.
Dude, yeah. Well, one more funny note on this issue was, it was funny seeing some people on Twitter. I think someone literally asked Donny Cates why he named the character Virus. Like when the news was coming out, this was probably in like April, May, when the news was coming out about this Virus character that was going to be unveiled. People asked him about like why you called him Virus, and he's like, it's just an unlucky name. Like I didn't know there's gonna be a pandemic. You know, this is kind of funny.
Yo, how dare you?
Come on, man. It was kind of funny though. So
he was all, man, it was either Virus or Riot, man. I don't know who else.
Bro, wait till you watch the movie and you see how ridiculous Riot is, dude. Just wait.
Oh man.
Just wait. I look forward to talking about it. You can have me on the show again when you watch it to lament. Give me a lament episode.
Yeah, no, it was taken.
With weeping man.
Yeah, no, we're going to do the commentary on that one, dude. I think that's just going to be straight up. I'm not going to watch it. I'm just going to straight up.
We're just going to experience it the first time together.
Mics.
Oh, my gosh.
Just drop it, dude. So,
yeah.
Nice. Yes. All right, man. So, Venom, what do you rate in that issue of Venom, dude?
Dude, like, no, it's on question.
You can review it. It's up on the site. You all can read it. But like, yep.
I stand by it, man. Got to go. No question. Yeah. Yeah. And you can start here too. So like, if you're not following Venom, this is a good spot to start at if you want to jump in. So yeah.
Same. Matt, what's your thoughts on that book?
Yeah, I loved it. It was a lot of fun. Like I said, I think it picks up a little better than the last like set of issues. Last, I don't know, like what was it, 5 issues? So yeah, so I'd give it. It's a like a really high Let's Go for me. Like it's really good. I was really impressed. I think the lack of clarity when the with the changeover in artists like brings it down like ever so slightly. But gosh, it's so good. And I'm still like every book I read that Cates is writing, like I just get more and more impressed by what this dude can do.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah, it's a gotta go book, dude. That was like book of the week last week, wow. This week, next week. How about that? 3 weeks covered, dude.
Ooh,
we got 3 weeks just covered. Just symbiote covering Mondays through Thursdays.
He's reaching.
Yeah.
Let's go. A real Venom fan.
Yeah, it was good, man. I was having fun. It made me like, I was looking at just, you know, I was trying to get some new t-shirts because I got some birthday dollars and I was like, I might get me that Venom cover t-shirt. I was going to send it to you too. I was like, oh, it's because you have that one shirt. It's like, I think it's like a classic McFarlane like Venom shirt.
But
they had some other ones. I was like, oh, that one's cool. It just looked like such a heavy metal cover. I was like, I might get that, dude. It just looks
cool. It is, man. Venom's heavy metal, man, for sure.
He totally is. So
that's good.
That's all I need. All right, man. Was there any other books that you've been jumping on or been looking at
in the Venomverse or
just anything? Because before the show you're like, oh man, I've been reading this.
Yeah, I've been reading.
You're reading Matt Ritchie's Batman books.
I am. Let's see. I am keeping track of Empire, and I don't know what the frick I think about that, because apparently that's like the big event right now. I read issue one, kind of excited. And I left issue one kind of like, what? I don't understand. So I'm interested in Empire though, because there's a lot like coming out with that. There's a lot of crossovers. So
there's tons, dude.
You're one of the few people I know that gets excited about crossovers and like
you buy all the crossovers.
You love like all the tie-ins, and I appreciate that about you, dude. Because most people are like, tie-in.
Oh, dude. Yeah, I don't know. I do like the tie-ins, man. I get excited. Well, dude, there's a Null tie-in. So there's a Web of Venom tie-in. So I'm interested to see with that, because, you know, we'll see what they do with that. But I'm the amount of tie-ins on this one is a little confusing. It's a little disorganized. So
it is crazy because there's Avengers Empire, right?
Yeah.
But then there's Avengers Fantastic Four Empire. I'm like, wait, you need a team-up book?
Yeah, I think Avengers Fantastic Four Empire is the main storyline, but then there's separate too. Yeah, because I read the prelude Fantastic Four Empire and I didn't know what I grabbed. I didn't know what it was. I thought it was the start of Empire, and then I was like, oh, I guess I missed it. So it's kind of a mess. But I've been reading that, remotely interesting. I checked out Deceased Dead Planet. So your boy came late to the game with that, even though I should have been reading Deceased. Matt told me that at least 15 times. So yeah.
Matt got me on it, dude.
Oh, dude.
Yeah,
I was so surprised. That was my biggest surprise last year, for sure.
I remember you kept saying that. So I'm going to follow Dead Planet. I'll probably keep reviewing it for you, Justin, and I'll circle back. So, but that was interesting, you know?
Tom Taylor, dude. I think every time he writes something, it's gold. He needs to be writing the Superman book. And he even said something on Twitter, like, he's like, oh, man, I'd love to write Superman. Because my guy, Brian Michael Bendis, who I love, I just don't think Superman was his book, dude. That's all.
It's tough, dude. Man. You hate to see it. Yeah. Have you been keeping up on Strange Adventures, Mike?
Yes, I have. Oh, my. That's that book. Dude.
That came out last week as well. Strange Adventures number 3.
Hyped. That is an excellent story right now.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. What did you guys think of issue 3?
Yeah, what do you think, Justin?
Oh, man. Yeah, I liked it a lot. It's getting kind of here's the thing, like with Alana, we don't have like a whole lot of like, you know, I don't have a lot of like I don't go deep on her, right? Like I don't have a whole bunch of like, oh, what's going on with her? Like what's her story, you know? I just know it's Adam Strange's wife, right?
Mhm.
But I think I was telling you this on the phone, Mike, where I was like, I feel like they're going to give us a swerve with her. You know, we're going to get a little bit of like, wait, is she responsible for any of this? You know, like, I don't think they would like set it up. Yeah. They wouldn't set it up like so soon, but I was thinking like, hey, I think something's going on with her, man. Like they're giving us too much. Like she's smoking this cigarette. She's like a classic. She feels like a 60s James Bond villainous kind of.
Totally. Yeah,
she feels very like in that last scene, very like femme fatale, like, mm-hmm. like almost more like from like a noir story, you know, like she's the one that's like, like, wait, what are your intentions? Cause I can't tell.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Yeah. That's where I'm at. And I was really like kind of curious. I'm like, oh, maybe she's like Adam's he's the innocent one, you know. But then I like that little confrontation with like, you know, Batman there out in the backyard.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
And the paparazzi got the shot or whatever. Like, oh, I just thought so that was good, cool. Man. Like just those things. And I was actually excited because, you know, I didn't think we were going to go so wide on DC Universe stuff. Like, you got Superman flying. He's like, I don't know, man. Just like Adam's all freaking out. He's like, oh, man, we'll look
Hawk
into it, dude.
Hawkman, too.
Yeah,
Hawkman. In the sky. Dude,
and they're fighting Samuroids. Like,
yeah, so good. Yeah, so the whole book, I'm just like, it made promises, but it didn't say it was going to, like, do all these other really cool things, which I'm really hyped on. Like, so much. I don't know. It's just a great book. Like, again, all the creators on it, you got like Doc Shaner, Mitch Garrett, Tom King. Like, I'm already there, but it's nice the story is paying off and you're excited. And this one felt a little slower, but when I read it the second time, I was like, I started picking up on things. And then, like, this is what, like, this whole, I'll say something, it's going to sound crazy, and I don't mean for it to sound crazy, but the Batman I got in this book was what I wanted, what I needed. And I'm not getting that in his main book, you know. I'm like, he just seems interesting. He seems like the Batman. He knows what the heck's happening. He's not getting punked out, you know. Anyways, I was satisfied, even though he was in like four pages or whatever. I was like satisfied by the Batman I got in this book.
It was solid, though. I think
it was solid. It was just like, dude, that's,
he's like this immovable like object in it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You see her like talking to him, but he's just kind of the same in each of the, like, he doesn't budge in each of the panels. Yeah. And it was funny, I was texting with Mike and I was like, dude, her blowing smoke, like literally blowing smoke. And I was like, oh, I didn't include that in my review. I'm like, I should have thought about that. Like, she's literally blowing smoke. Like, is she like up to something? Is she like, like, because I don't know, that's the one of the things out of the whole book that, like, one of the moments that hit me the most, of like, where I might have even like gasped a little bit, because I was like, you don't do that to Batman. Like, who does that to Batman? Like, I'm just gonna blow, take a big like puff of a cigarette and just blow it all right in Batman's face.
Yeah, dude, that's funny though.
Like, is so.
You don't do that to Batman.
I was like, you don't do that to Batman. But and the colors, dude. The way Mitch Garrett's like does this like very monochromatic kind of feel to his panels is so great. Like, it's all washed in like one color for the most part. Mm-hmm. And then you have Shaner's stuff is just like very vibrant, rich, like every kind of color, you know. Like, and I think the way it contrasts each other is awesome. The way that panels sometimes even like seem like they answer each other, you know, like they're responding to each other almost.
Yeah.
And I think you see like in the writing, I said it in a review, but I think you see in the writing and in the art, one of the first times you get these little sneak peeks of like, it feels like stuff is starting to overlap. Like, these two stories don't feel so completely separated.
Yes.
Like, if that makes sense. Like, for me specifically, sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was just going to say, like, his, you know, what threw me was that battle sequence he had that was kind of the ongoing, the kind of ongoing memory that was like, running through as we're reading his present story. Like, what kind of got me was it turns violent at the end. So it's like Adam Strange. I love how Adam Strange, who's the artist that draws like his memories on Rand?
Yeah, that's Doc Shaner.
Yeah.
So Doc Shaner's art, the reason I love it is because it's like his memories. It's very, it's much more cartoony than like the other art is more gritty and there's like more realism to it. So when he goes to this like memory of this gladiator sequence, it's like you feel this kind of, I'm Adam Strange, like this kind of like honor and like Dudley Do-Right kind of like persona. Totally. But then that sequence, all while we're questioning, is he guilty, you know, of this murder? Yeah. That memory, like it gets violent. It like, and it kind of made me like trip a little bit, like, oh man, like, which is the brilliance of the book, is I'm like, I don't trust anybody in this book, you know, because like,
it just throws trust, you I just everywhere. Trust Batman, dude. Just trust Batman.
I probably could trust. I could trust Batman.
Because seeing like the art when he finally takes out this guy, like it almost like the style shifts, and like you're seeing an overlap there with like Mitch Garrett's style, to where I was like almost confused for a second. I was like, oh wait, that's still him doing it, right? And I think that's good. And I think you see that again with Alana. You see her because the whole time, like, I think the other issues we've seen so far, she's been like this very much more like damsel in distress, like, you're my hero and like that kind of stuff. But in this one, she's watching this like brutal fight and Adam's almost dead, and she is just like deadpan, just remembering how she would reenact like stuff like this. And as soon as it's done, she's like, okay, go ahead and get a healer and we're going to be there for dinner. And thank you. Like, not even phased by it. And I was like, oh shoot, this is a boss lady. This isn't someone that's like waiting on Adam Strange. And so I think you see that. And then you go straight from that into the scene with her and Batman. And it's like, sets up a fascinating dynamic, because even that, with the paparazzi shot, like, it's potentially going to get like twisted. You know what I mean? To be like, look at Batman coming after this poor lady. I'm like, oh gosh, is she manipulating? Like, is she like manipulating all of this? And it might be for a good reason too. That's the thing too. Like, I'm not even convinced she's like a villain, but I think like it's fascinating to play it off as like just this unreadable, like kind of like female mask where you're like, wait, what is your deal?
Yeah,
totally.
I love it. I love the covers. Like, it's just a full experience to me. Like, not every comic book feels like that. And I think every comic book could be that, but this one for sure is that. And it's funny, one little thing, because you had one little thing to point out about the Venom book, Mike. So someone posted a little screen cap of the only time, which is funny, like, we just spent all this time with Mr. Terrific and we get him for like one panel. This entire issue,
but it's all based on what he said to them. Like, they're upset.
True. Someone posted that one on Twitter and just said, this is very Columbo. And Tom King was like, stop reading my mind. And I was like, went back and looked at it. I was like, holy crap. That is like, that's the kind of thing. Like, Columbo was like walking away. He's like, all right, we'll talk soon, you know, kind of thing. I don't know, dude. I just thought that was really funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, dude. And that was eerie too, because you only catch it. You have issue two where it's like you're like totally drawn into Mr. Terrific the whole time, and then issue three, he's just disappeared. So you're like, where did he find out? Where is he going? Who's he talking to? What the frick?
Well, it's really interesting, like, tool that he uses, like, to say, okay, first issue is pretty much sequential, then second issue it's like, and whoop, we rewound and then ended up at the same spot. So you're like, okay, we're going to have this conversation. And we start this one. It's like, nope, skipped ahead. Like, dang it.
Yeah.
And it's this hard shift to like, okay, now we're going to talk about Alana. You know what I mean? Like, you thought like those first two issues were the setup. And it's like, nope, the first three were. I'm fascinated by it. I'm drawn in. It stands up really well to rereading and to scrutiny and to really studying the panels. I think everything that I've read from Tom King and Mitch Garrett's and then has been excellent. I think varying degrees of excellence, depending on your preference. I would say that, like, some stuff is easier to kind of like get on board with. But this seems like you can see the progression of like, this is someone that's like really honing their craft. And now that we're getting to this story, it's like, no, they know what they're doing. Like, things are all kind of like aligning in a really cool way.
Heck yeah.
Nice. Yeah, man, that book is still, that's a gotta go book right there.
Gotta go.
There you go. Gotta go. All right. Matt, you got anything you want to throw down, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was telling the guys, I was thinking a lot about this week. I think it was just actually a few days ago, the end of this last week, Congressman John Lewis passed away. And that doesn't seem very comic book related unless you are like me and you've been able to check out the trilogy of graphic novels he wrote called March. And it's the civil rights movement told through his perspective and his like part in that story and that part of history. So I've been making my way through that. It was actually really special to read like part of book two with his speech that he gave at the March on Washington, right before Martin Luther King Jr. gave his famous I Have a Dream speech. And it was really eye-opening for me and really meaningful, especially on a day that I felt so conflicted because so much crazy stuff is going on in our country. And I just felt conflicted about celebrating like freedom when so many people don't have that and haven't had that and are fighting for it, you know? And so having that story fresh in my mind and then reading the news the other morning, it actually really affected me, man. Like it was really like, I think it's, first of all, I think it's cool that he's the first congressman to write a comic book. I think
that's super dope.
And I think, and I'm grateful that it's something that I can hand to my 11-year-old and say like, hey, like we need to know about this. Like you need to know this story and this is important. And it's not just important, like you're getting the information, but it's a story told really well and it's crafted well. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that it's, like black and white is really good. Like just to kind of, it gives it a really clean look. I think there's some beautiful pages there, but for me, like it was just a special, I know we talk about like, creators, you know, artists, writers and publishers, like when they pass that have kind of had an impact. And I think this is an interesting one that's still worth mentioning. Want to say what's up and thanks to Pud for the recommendation. Cause he was originally the one that gave me the heads up on that. Yeah. So I got book one and then couldn't read. And then I couldn't read. I couldn't wait to read book two and book three after that. So pick those up right away. And I'm super grateful. I love it. I want to like loan it out to everybody because I want everyone to check it out.
Yeah. And that here's the thing.
So
they're
dope.
If you want to just go digital with them, they're on sale right now on Comixology. So like book one is four bucks.
So worth
it. Book two,
check it out.
Yeah. Book two, $5.
Literally then, buying right now.
Yeah.
Live and, on the episode.
And if you're like still skeptical, they have a free comic book day issue, which has just stuff from all three volumes. It's free. You can download it for free on Comixology. So like, so you know, great. Don't snooze on it. Like check it out, you know, taste the free one first. Like, oh, let me taste it. But like, you've already heard a few people say, hey man, it's really worth it. And so, it's good. This is what I love about comics. Like it's not always just like a punch in the face and a break through a wall. Like there's some like poignant stories that can be told. And I love that it's black and white because I feel like it takes, it might take the attention, you know, off of the spectacle of art, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. The art still tells a story, but like with black and white, I think you just focus on like what the story is telling you instead of like drawing attention to like flashiness. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think I'm getting educated through like reading these of things that I'm like, so I'm reading this and I'm like pissed that I have to find this out, these parts of the story out in my 30s in a comic book. And part of that's on me for not seeking it out, obviously. But the other part is like, dude, like we got to do better on what stories we're exposing like our kids to for their education. Like, and so that's inspired me, like even on that deeper level. And so when we think of like someone like John Lewis passing, it's a giant, you know, like not just someone that accomplished so much in the civil rights movement, not just in his political career, but also just reading his story as like someone of faith too, like someone that's really respectable. And that's always been something that's been core to him, but in a way where it like builds other people up instead of tearing them down, which I think is very, very timely for us to consider. So I've loved it. I'm trying to make my way through book three right now. But I'm trying not to go too fast just because I've loved it so much. So, but it's got to go, and please check it out, everybody.
Awesome. Thanks for that, Rick. Cool. All right. Switching gears a little bit. Comic-Con. It's every year. We all go to Comic-Con. We wait in line. We sweat. We get all of our...
Have you ever been to a con, Mike?
Dude, no, but I really want to. I really want to.
This is the year, man. 2020 is the year.
2020 is your year, dude.
You can go.
Because guess what? Now you can go to Comic-Con. You can rub shoulders with the finest. Comic-Con is like where, like, COVID comes from. Like, it is a breeding ground, dude. You got people touching you, coughing, sweating. It's just like, you know, everyone's touching the same things. You're like, oh, what's this? I'm gonna touch this thing too. And I'm gonna go get some pizza at the Gas Lamp, which you can't beat. $5 for two slices and a Coke. Gas Lamp Pizza. Hit it up.
That's it was really good.
That's where you go. That was always my I'm beelining right there. You go past the crazy people that are like preaching hellfire at you. And then you get some pizza.
Oh, yeah. You got those guys at a Comic-Con?
Oh, bro. Oh, it's the best, dude. It's the best. And then you had the people that heckle them. I actually got into a fight with one of them because I was like, what they were saying in front of kids. I was like, yo, you got what? And anyways, long story, dude. I got mad. I was like, what? I'm not going to like change them. They just started yelling at me and I just walked off. Anyways, bruh. So Comic-Con is online and it's free and there's panels. And so there's a lot of cool stuff out there. I just want to kind of go through a rundown. I'm going to try to check some stuff out. Some highlights is Star Trek. If you're into Star Trek, a lot of people are. They'll be talking about stuff on Thursday at 10 a.m. So you can go and talk, you know, or watch a pre-recorded session. We'll see. But I guess they're supposed to have a Q&A. So I imagine there will be some live stuff or maybe like you can set up with like a chat. But here's the thing we were talking about earlier, New Mutants. I guess it's coming out. It says it's got an August due date. So we'll see. The Let's New Mutants. This will close out the Fox universe. I'll be watching that one with my kid. We'll see. The Boys. Sure. Boys season 2 is coming. So that's tomorrow. We're recording on Wednesday night. So this is Thursday at 3 p.m. So they're going to do stuff with producers, Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg, and Eric Kreik. And they're going to talk about this show. It's coming back. Have you guys seen The Boys at all?
Yeah, I watched the first season.
Mike, that show's crazy, dude.
It is. It's a lot. It's
like the first episode, I'm like, what the crap's going on?
It dude, is a lot.
I never knew what the show was about because I saw the comic, but every time I saw the comic, it was like, oh, The Boys. And it showed like, you know, three dudes standing in the alley. And I thought, oh, maybe just some dudes that caused some ruckus, but it's definitely not that. And so, yeah, anyways, it's a crazy show, dude. And you're like, but it's so well done. Anyways, you got cool. That.
I gotta check it.
Yeah. If you're into Adventure Time, they're doing some stuff on Adventure Time. Walking Dead. There's like 7 Walking Dead shows, and that's starting on Friday. They're gonna be talking about like the history. The season 10 finale is coming up, and then there's a new show called The Walking Dead: World Beyond. So here's just a whole bunch of that. They have Avatar Legacy. Here's the one I'm curious about, guys. There's a Zoom call and it's going to be with Joss Whedon. And Joss Whedon is just in.
What?
That's going to get canceled. I can't imagine.
Don't see how that's going to happen.
If they're doing a Zoom call with Joss Whedon, it is going to get, the Snyder guys are going to roll up and be like, I'm with Ray Fisher. And it's just going to be a thing. Like he's not going to get any knowledge to be shared is what that's supposed to be. They're going to have an opportunity and he'll talk about his knowledge. And I just don't think it's going to happen, dude. But that one I'm morbidly curious about. So at 5 o'clock on Friday, I'm gonna try to get on that call because I'm like, I'm gonna be that like gif. I'm gonna be the gif of Michael Jackson eating popcorn, just watching that dude. Like, oh shoot, what's gonna happen?
I imagine you more as like the Bill Hader gif, like where.
Oh yeah, even popcorn. More. It's gonna gradually change as I go. I'm like, we got what else? We got Constantine. It's a celebration of the film from 2005.
So oh my gosh.
You know what? That film's not bad, dude. It's definitely not the Constantine like it should be. It's not like an English blonde dude, but it's Keanu Reeves, and it's a good film, dude.
I know, Kung Fu.
Oh, no. It's good, dude. I still remember that line. I love it. She's like, I don't believe in the devil. And he's all, you should, because he believes in you. It's a good film, dude. It's a good movie.
He took
movie,
that
dude.
Youth pastor line. Okay.
He believes in you. He had like a little goatee. We got some Guillermo del Toro stuff. Bill and Ted Face the Music. Some more Keanu Reeves. He's just going to own Comic-Con. So nice. I'm actually excited about that. What We Do in the Shadows, a conversation with Nathan Fillion, and a whole bunch more. Just go to the Comic-Con website. There's a lot of stuff. So I know we're kind of missing
a lot.
Missing out. And if you go to the there's conversation.
Some bomb, like, sessions here too, man.
Yeah.
Super cool.
You go, and if you go to the Nathan Fillion Q&A, Josh Whedon's on that too. So you got double the chance. Poor Nathan Fillion. He's going to be like, man. But the thing I'm actually more excited about is a small thing, and it's going to be on Friday night. And one of the things that happens at Comic-Con, if you're lucky, you get to hang out with people after hours, go get a drink, go chit-chat with some creators. And so from the Word Balloon podcast with John Suntris, is that how you say his name? I can't. Matt, you should know.
I don't know. Sorry.
All right. Whatever. He's got like a podcast, and he talks with a lot of creators. Anyway, so he's going to do this thing. It's going to be like a live thing with Tom, Strange Adventures King.
Ooh.
and they're going to be sitting down with the Benson sisters, Julie and Shauna. And so I'm actually really excited for that one, because that should be a good time. And if you've ever seen a panel with the Bensons, they're fun. Tom King's interesting cat. And so, and then, you know, John is a good interviewer. So there you go. I'm excited for that one. So I'll be tuning in at 6 p.m.
That's Friday, 6 p.m.
Standard time. Friday, 6 p.m., dude. So just follow him on Twitter, I guess, and that's how you find it. So, but yeah, there's other people. It's going to have Dan Slott's going to be on there too. Amy Chu, Jerry Ordway, Robert Venditti. So there's a ton of people, dude. So it's going to be, sounds like it's going to be a good time, dude. So I'm excited for it. So go follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's just John Word Balloon on Twitter. And then, you'll get connected to it. So anyways, I think this is a good way to make Comic-Con, like, you know, at home. But I'm more excited, though, for DC Fandom when that comes out in August. That one I'm so curious about, dude, because that's going to blow everyone's heads off, dude. I think they still got some surprises we don't even know about. So
I hope so.
Yeah, because I'm like, really Michael curious. Keaton Flash, I think that's where they're going to go. It's for sure. You know, they're hinting it, making us, like, think about it for, like, a month and a half, and then they're going to be like, he's going to come down. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And he's going to come out. And he's going to be like, you know why? Because I'm Batman. He loves throwing that out there, dude. He'll go to like college graduations and he'll like do the keynote. And that's what he says. He's like, I'm Batman. Like, he just leans into it now. So before he was like, I don't want to do a third one. Now he's like, all right, cool. 40 years later, I'll do another one.
Why not?
Yeah. So as long as I don't got to wear nipples on it, I'm good to go. Let's do this.
I'm fascinated by all of this, like with Comic-Con happening like this and companies doing their own stuff. Like, I'm really just genuinely curious how this is all going to go, like how it's received, like what engagement's like.
I mean, I think people are going to be glued because they want to watch it. Like, here's the thing. Anytime they release stuff during regular Comic-Con time, like trailers and stuff, those things blow up. Like, you're like on Twitter. You're already on Twitter waiting for the information to come out. And so I think people are already like, you know, couch convention, you know, that's where they're at. They're waiting. Yeah. So they can be part of it. And so now we can all be part of it this way. And there's going to be some failures, I think. And there's going to be some really cool things. I think it's a test. So like, how do we make it happen? What's going to be great? Like the streaming, they're going to be like out of bandwidth. They're going to get knocked off the show. Like Mike, stuff's gonna happen, dude.
It's gonna be good.
Stuff's gonna happen. So, anyways, I'm excited for it. We'll talk about what we see. So, all right, man. Y'all ready to rap?
Ready to rap.
All right,
Mike's always ready to rap.
Mike is always ready. He's got his hood up, dude. He's gonna get some of that cold spaghetti.
Hey, funny little comic outro story.
Yeah.
Also a plug. I picked up a comic from Image. Mm-hmm. So like, Matt, you'd be proud of me. I'm reading outside my
look
my
at you, lanes. Dude. You're doing it.
But that Texas Blood, you heard of this guy? By Chris Condren and Jacob Phillips. It's pretty cool. I'd say it's a go. It's a go. But it's mainly a go because I'm new. But dude, I was reading it the other night because I was hyped. I picked it up in my grab bag, in my my floppy grabs at the store the other day, and because my buddy was like, yo, whenever you see a number one on Image, get it. Like, that was his like pro tip.
Yeah,
I was like, frick. And but I guess this one was just selling out. Like people were coming to the store, and so there's one left. So I was like, let me take a shot. Uh-huh. And I read this thing too late at night. And oh, it's spooky, shoot. Bro. It's spooky. So I went to bed all paranoid. I'm not going to lie. So little comic outro, man. Like read into the night, but you might need to end on like a happy Spider-Man issue. Or something like
wait,
that.
Did that come out this week or last week? It was last week, huh?
It might come out last week, but yeah, it was spooky, bro. So it threw me off. I was like, frick.
All right.
I so need like Spider Ham or something. It's a Howard the Duck.
Spider Ham. Oh, shoot.
Yeah, side note, but
yeah. I don't feel like I saw it on the image like list last week, but maybe it was and I just didn't see it.
Yeah. No, so. It tripped me out, bro. It tripped me out. I should have read it earlier in the day. So
you're like, what did I do?
Yeah. What am I
doing? Good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's not wrong, man. Like getting those image books, like the number ones, you never know, dude. You know,
never know.
You could be sitting on a Walking Dead, dude. Walking Dead. So what was it called again? Texas something?
That Texas Blood.
That Texas Blood, dude. Ooh.
Yep. Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. That Texas Blood.
Because right. It's late right now, bro. And I'm just like, yo, I'm probably going to flip through a read after this. And I know, now I know it needs to be more of one of those happier reads.
You're gonna be one of those number one guys now, like, oh my god, all the number ones.
Yep.
<They're> all, college yep. is coming.
Bad advice for your pockets.
Just watch. College is coming. So, nice. All right, we're gonna wrap. Mike, dude, thanks for being on the show. I want you to
it's good to be here.
People give them access to you. Say, hey, here's where you can find me. Here's any shows that I'm doing. Because Mike does a podcast and he's gonna talk about it for a second here.
Yo, I do a podcast.
Yeah.
I do a podcast.
It's not doo-doo or boo-boo.
Yeah, thank you. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Mike Terrell, T-E-R-U-E-L. And yeah, I got a podcast called The Bible is Dope. And it's basically just conversations about the content of the Bible, conversations about what it actually says. You know, and thoughts on how it relates to our modern life. So it's with me and a buddy. And we just try to have conversations, try to make them funny as well, but we just try to have conversations about, you know, I think we kind of made it with a chip on our shoulders of like, man, why are all these people talking about this book when they don't even read it? Like we actually read this thing. And so anyway, we've just been having fun, man, having conversations. So it's meant for people curious or with questions of like, yo, I'm kind of asking some questions about faith. So come through. You can check it out on any podcast platform. The Bible is Dope. Yeah,
it's good. Like if you enjoyed listening to us talk about comics, it's like I would say like it would be adjacent in the sense like it's a good time. It's fun, man. It's a good show and I highly recommend it to all people of all peoples. So
people of all people, of all cheers. Peoples.
That's my rating. People of all peoples. All right, Matt, how can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Matt Ritchie.
Yeah. You can find me at J_Rocca. You can find the show at Let's Go Comic Show on Instagram and Twitter. You can visit the website at www.letsgopodcast.com where you can find this show and Let's Go Podcast. And remember to hit up the website every day because we're putting reviews, TV shows, movies, articles, boom, boom, comic reviews. Boom. What do you got? Hit the merch tab, buy a shirt, get a pillow, what? Get a sticker, you get a mask. Matt, you got your Let's Go Comic Show mask?
I did.
Yeah, it came.
You had masks?
Dude, we got people. Keep them safe, dude. Yeah.
I was thinking, dude, I literally might, this thing's going to go on for a while. I think I'm actually just going to get a Spider-Man mask. Like, yeah. I'm just going to wear that in public.
Just the full-on mask to cover your entire face.
I was actually wanting to get a Mandalorian one, and I almost dropped, like, 90. Ooh. I almost dropped 90 on it. I was like, that one. I was walking to Trader Joe's to get some orange chicken. We're like, this is the way.
Dude, we should, man. Like, we should. We're just fans of comics.
Just like, why not?
Now's the time.
Now's the time, dude. Like, hey, you want me to wear a mask? This one, like, someone sneezes on you wearing a Mandalorian mask, dude. It's got that little visor part. You're good. Dude, just walk around, dude. You know, dude. Like Batman mask ain't gonna cut it, dude, because it's covering all the wrong spots.
Yeah.
Being the mouth covered, dude.
No, my guy's vulnerable. He's like perfectly vulnerable for COVID. Dude's got the nose down to the chin. Well, no, his nose is covered.
Yeah, his nose is covered, but the mouth part, man, he's got to
put
the rebreather on or something.
Yeah.
Unless you're like Batman Beyond, where he's just fully covered. That's good. Mm. All right. There's a whole new show. All right, man. So hit us up. Hit up all those things. Please leave us a review with 5 stars and some good words, and we will read it on the show, and we'll put a little beat to it, and we'll go, "This is your review," and we'll sing it. It'll be good. You can record it, send it off to people. It's good. I'm begging, dude. I'm like, come on. Everyone's been snoozing on reviews right now, and we're trying to make it hot. You guys are just like, no, I don't know. I don't have any good things to say. So send your good things. I actually need to check. Come I need on. To check the European one though, because they have different stores with different reviews. So anyways, that's some business for me to figure out, not you guys. So anyways, that being said, my name is Justin.
I'm Matt.
I'm Mike.
Let's go.
Let's go.